You're listening to The Naked Scientists, Chris Smith, Dave Ansell and Dominic Ford. Right, water sports, surfing, bodyboarding, kite surfing and so on, they've all become increasingly popular in recent years. But the number of people who are getting into trouble in the water has correspondingly also gone up. And part of the problem are what are called rip currents. These are unexpected and fast-moving currents that can even drag you out to sea, even if you're a very good swimmer. In fact, I had a little brush with one of these when I was in Australia recently. Now, though, a group of surfers and scientists, suppose you could call them surfer scientists, are trying to understand the processes of these rip currents so that we can make beaches safer places to be. And Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson has donned her bikini and quite possibly a spotty handkerchief with knots tied in the corner, and she's been to Perranporth in North Cornwall to meet Dicken Berryman from the RNLI, that's the Royal National Lifeguard Institute, along with Tim Scott and former European surf champion. Yes, he really is a surf champion, but he's also Professor Paul Russell from the University of Plymouth.
It's a three-year project, and we're looking at the factors that cause rip currents to vary. The factors are the incoming waves, which drive the whole system, measuring the rip currents themselves using the drifters, and the shape of the beach, the sandbanks and the rip channels in the beach and how those change. The crucial thing about the UK is that we have these large tidal ranges, so the water's moving on and off the sandbanks quickly and the waves are changing quickly, and therefore rip currents can turn on and off very quickly, and this is what causes a major hazard.
Now, you mentioned the drifters there, so this is part of the equipment that you're using to measure this. Tim Scott, you were involved in designing this equipment. Take us through the equipment that you're using. Probably best to start, as it's already been mentioned, with the drifter. What's a drifter?
The drifters themselves stand about a metre tall. The base of them is made up of a cylinder, which is about the size of a 2 litre drinks bottle. And above that is a mast, which extends up to about sort of waist high. The drifters themselves float, they're kind of neutrally buoyant, so when we put them in the surf zone, they float with the mast sticking upright and standing up. They have a damping plate on the bottom which stops them from surfing on the waves, and they very effectively mimic what would happen to a person if they were trapped in the surf zone and they were moving around on the rip currents.
How many would you use?
Well, we use about between 15 and 25. Each drifter itself has got a GPS unit that tracks its location, and it takes a position every second. We use a couple of interesting survey techniques where we can use a GPS base station to make these measurements much more accurate. These enable us to get very accurate velocities and positions within the surf zone using these bits of equipment.
Paul, we've got a sort of taste of some of the parameters that are being measured there. What else are these drifters, these GPS tracking devices, actually looking for in the water?
Because we continually reseed the drifters, so they either get taken out to sea in a rip current or they get washed it back in by the wave. So we're continually reseeding them. So what we're looking for is the changes in the system. So not just measuring it once, but continually changing it as the tide changes, as the waves change, and as the seabed topography, the sandbars, change. And we've just done a six-week experiment here, which encapsulated quite a range of conditions, and we're coming back in October when the beach will be different and the waves will be different and the rip currents will be different, and we'll be repeating all the measurements then.
Now, both Tim, yourself and Paul, both keen surfers. Have you noticed just purely with your surfing, I mean, because there are people here bodyboarding, taking surfboards out, obviously to enjoy the waves. Have you ever noticed yourself that there are certain times of the year or the day when the rip currents seem to be stronger than usual?
Yeah, well, as a surfer, you spend a huge amount of time in the sea and you see rip currents all the time, and, you know, you're constantly in rip currents and moving around in. Many surfers might not know exactly the physics behind what's happening, but they're certainly observing them all the time, and they have a really good intuitive knowledge of how these rip currents work. And the fact is they do change all the time, and from seconds, from groups of waves, all the way through to seasons and annually. You get different kind of rips on different kinds of beaches. So,
Dicken, is this what makes them so dangerous as a lifeguard then? As surfers, like Tim, have said, that actually they're there all the time and they're really quick.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we've got to remember that it's not the rip current that kills someone. It's the inability to cope, and potentially the inability to see it in the first place. So this science backs up what we think we know already. And that's what's interesting to come out. It gives us a sort of confidence in the safety message that we give. But also, you know, the lifeguards will be generally risk assessing all the time, dynamically. As the tide's dropping out here at Perranporth, it will get worse as the tide drops. And certainly towards low tide is the most dangerous time that we know on this beach. And that's built up from experience, you know. So the guys will now be adjusting how potentially where they put their swimming area. They'll be adjusting their advice they give to swimmers. And they may possibly even going in the water themselves to prevent those accidents happening.
Dickon Berryman from the RNLI with Tim Scott and Paul Russell from the University of Plymouth. They were talking with Sue Nelson.
As always, you can find more Planet Earth resources online at thenakedscientist.com/planet-earth.
And still to come, we're going to be answering more of your science questions, so now's a very good time to get in touch. You can tweet at Naked Scientists, or you can write on our Facebook page. We've made it very easy to get there, nakedscientist.com/Facebook, or you can drop us an email. That's to chris@thenakedscientist.com. And on the subject of the beach, we'll be returning to the beach later, because in our question of the week this week, we'll be finding out an interesting fact or two about footprints.